What's good, everybody, and welcome to Bunny Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Brooke Grider Dave.
How we doing, everybody?
Before we get started, I just need to go ahead and dedicate this episode to the two lovely ladies who always point us in the direction of some new and talented people, talking about twins and talent. So this one's going to go out to Haley and Hannah over there. But today, we got with us, promoting his newest book, Infernal Moon. He is also the author of Symposium of the Reaper and Black Widow Blues, which are included in the upcoming book giveaway this upcoming week, as well as a number of other titles, whiskey enthusiast, horror fanatic, and lover of all things metal, Andrew Adams.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure.
And also, thank you for choosing Evil Dead 2, because even though I call myself a horror podcaster, that's one of those movies that is a long list of like movies of how have you not seen it. So thank you for giving me an excuse.
Yeah. Oh, you've never seen it before?
I've seen Evil Dead, was it 2013, and Evil Dead Rise. So I haven't
Wait, so you've never seen Army of Darkness yet either?
I haven't seen the two arguably best ones of the entire franchise.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say best ones of the franchise. I'd say Evil Dead 2 is probably the best one of the Sam Raimi directed ones. So.
Just to give just some perspective here, I just saw The Exorcist, how many months ago? Four or five months ago?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes to horror, I think. But Dave, you actually started reading.
Yeah, I got into Black Widow Blues.
Black Widow Blues.
Which is a pretty interesting premise for a book. So I don't want to give away too much, but the main character, Kim, she has a very weird addiction of eating spiders. And yeah, how do you come up with a premise like that?
Weird kink.
Where the idea came from, that one, yeah, I don't know, honestly. That one was one of those just like snap of the fingers, aha type of ideas. You know, I dabble in horror and a lot of transgressive kind of, I bounce back and forth. I do a lot of gore, but I do a lot of psychological stuff. That idea was just, it was just kind of like that little light bulb went on and I ran with it. I was like, let's just take this as far as we can go of a girl eating spiders.
All right. Now, I'm only going to dip my toe into this a little bit. I'm only going to ask. All due respect, I'm not going to read it. Me and spiders don't
gel. Chris has bad arachnophobia.
But does it have anything, did the idea come out by all of the notion of, now I don't know if it's a old wives' tale about people swallowing spiders in their sleep or anything like that.
I've heard that, yeah. I've heard it. I don't know. The idea just kind of came from me being not really afraid of spiders at all and
lucky
just having a lot of fun that other people are.
It's crippling.
Out here, and I'm in California, we have a lot of black widows, so that's the only one that we have to watch out for.
I think the only ones we got to worry about over in the East Coast is brown recluses.
Yeah, I think those are worse.
Oh, yeah. I know.
We got both those in the Midwest.
I'm fully aware. Midwest, y'all are out there in like nowhere. Y'all probably got weird Australia spiders out there in like middle of nowhere over there.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're not in Australia though. Like their spider season's ridiculous.
On a positive note though, I was talking to my niece the other day. I was saying, yeah, this is who we have a guest. Uncle's got a guest that he's interviewing today. And I was going through your Instagram and she immediately stopped when she saw the cover art. For that, she said, "Oh my God, that cover art looked really, really cool." She liked the skull with the spider inside it and whatnot. How much input do you usually have when it comes to like your cover art that you make, or is there like negotiation with the illustrator, or do you usually say, "I want this to be this"?
50-50. The illustrator is my wife, so
that's cool.
There you go.
It's she's a photographer and she does graphic design for a living, so just a natural fit. And then we kind of keep the indie thing going, that everything's done in-house between myself and my group of friends, so that's kind of how we wanted to do things. So I have input, but you know,
that's pretty cool. Really cool dream to just kind of have your own little group like all for all your projects. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't really think of doing this another way. I you know, I have friends that do things for me as far as formatting, editing questions, stuff like that. Just kind of a community we've built. And like you mentioned, Hannah and Haley, they've been tremendous in helping me promote things. And so we kind of just have this little indie group of people. And, you know, I'm happy with it. It makes my life enjoyable and it gives me something to do outside of work.
Yeah, you do it until it stops being fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel that.
Do you have any more like questions about...
I think I'm on like page 51 of 101. So really getting to know Kim, the main character. What was like your process of coming up with her and her struggles?
Just used people that I've known that have struggled with addictions, various addictions, and just kind of played off of their struggles and things like that. I'm a welder by trade, so, you know, addictions kind of hand in hand with with welders, it seems. So just kind of use that as a basis, and then it's kind of like a heartbreaking story. I don't want to spoil the end, but okay. And then we just wrap that up in spiders.
Yeah. It's really, really deep and really, really emotional, and spiders.
Yeah.
I tend to do that with a lot of my stories, though. I'll like make a big grand point, and then we'll just, you know, throw clowns in it, and it's fun.
I love it. You gotta.
There you go. That's a good process, right there. Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan gets to have his twists. So.
Yeah, I do a lot of twists as well. So usually, you know, towards the end, it's kind of like, okay, we've been building up towards this one thing, and then it's like, I like to just, you know, yank the wheel pretty hard sometimes.
I mean, that's always a good thing. Keep people on their toes when they're reading your books.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, the worst thing that you can do is be boring with art, right?
That is true, yeah.
that's why it's hard to review a lot of movies on these things, because we're like, so long as it's entertaining, we don't care how bad it technically is. So long as it's, talk more points for being boring more than anything.
Yeah, like one of our upcoming podcasts is going to be the ranking of the Hellraiser franchise. And I just watched one of the movies. It was so incredibly boring.
Yep. Should I ask which one it was?
You'll find out when you finally watch. Yeah.
Nice little tease, Dave.
Yeah. But yeah, that is the worst thing. It's just being boring.
Do you have any more, or we have, I have one or two more questions for a couple of other books.
My last one would just be like, if this was picked up for a movie, who would you want to direct this movie?
Director. Wow. You mentioned, I'm going to go with Sam Raimi just because I'm such a huge Evil Dead nerd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just some of the visuals. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a good segue into Symposium of the Reaper. Because it says on Amazon that you were inspired by that and Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, just the kind of zany wackiness of both of those, and particularly with Tales from the Crypt, it was like, okay, you're gonna get a horror story, but it can be anything under the sun, and that was what I wanted to do for that project.
And now Symposium of the Reaper. This is this is an anthology of stories. Is this correct?
Yeah. Those are all my stories. My goal going into it was no rules, no compromising, no anything. I'm going to write whatever I want. So you're going to have really psychological and kind of deep stories, and then you're going to have just a total gore fest the very next story.
Now, this is something I don't know if I've asked this of any of our other authors, but how many of these short stories in these anthologies started out as potential full-length books on their own, or did you... Or are all of these like, I want to make a bunch of short stories, or did one of them not work out as a full length?
For the most part, I went the opposite route. They were all short story ideas to begin with, and then I've been working to expand some of them.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Some of these might be turned into it?
More of the novella length, like Black Widow Blues, are a little bit longer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I find that works. You know, for the modern audience, it works pretty well. And I do a lot of novel writing as well, but the short stories and the novellas kind of capture people a little bit better in this day and age.
Because I feel like, how many years have we been talking about our anthology, Dave, that we haven't like touched it? Like, I don't know how long, but I'd be the opposite where it's like, yeah, these are all stories that I'm just too lazy to like make into a full length book.
Yeah, I'm at the point where like I have like four or five done. Now I'm just adding to them and they're becoming longer books.
Dave, just go on without me, man. I'm just holding you back.
I'm just going to have to release my own one.
I'll be your proofreader.
All right. Sounds good.
And do we have your wife to thank for the cover for this one too? Does she do all of the book art?
Yeah, she's done every cover so far. So that was the first one. The Symposium of the Reaper Volume 1 was the first cover we did. And we took that picture out here where I live in the Mojave Desert. So we kind of wanted to implement, you know, the crows and the ravens and the Joshua tree, because it's obviously we're in a desert. There's a lot of, you just think of things.
Yeah, I've been to the Mojave Desert, so.
Yeah, things are just dead, you know?
Yeah.
And how many installments are there in the Symposium?
There's three individual volumes, so 39 stories total. And then I've really, the short stories I have a great time with.
Yeah.
I hear 39, and let me guess, when you just throw out the a number like 39, to you probably think, yeah, that's still kind of low, don't you? I'm sitting here envious of the idea of 39 stories.
You know, it's one of those things that I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and
that makes me feel even worse. Back,
yeah. Yeah, well,
you're a machine.
I kind of fixate on things like writing, and it's like, you know, it's just kind of my escape from the day job and things like that. So it's kind of, I feel like I'm doing something wrong if I'm not writing every day, every single day.
I'm glad you got the discipline.
Yeah. That's the hard part right there, keeping up with it every day.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes you're like, I really need to get some writing done. I really shouldn't. I have other things to do.
Yeah, I feel that.
Well, you have 39, which is impressive to me. What would you say is your biggest hurdle within yourself that's keeping you from being the best you can be?
Time, you know, working quite a bit. I have, you know, we have a family and kids and just the whole nine yards and the day-to-day stuff that happens. But at the same time, it kind of makes you appreciate the writing time that you do get a little bit more.
How much of family life bleeds into your work?
As far as like ideas and inspiration?
Yeah.
I'd say quite a bit. The family dynamic is something I use a lot too. Like you mentioned Infernal Moon. That's, it really revolves around a whole family going through this together. Right. And how it kind of works its way through them and kind of destroys the whole family at the same time.
Okay. That's interesting.
And that's your most recent project, right?
Yeah, that comes out July 9th. So that's something I've been working on for a long time, as tends to happen with novels or short stories. So,
yeah,
you know, we're looking at sometimes a year and a half process for a novel between edits and things like that.
So less than 2 months.
Yeah. So, 7 weeks or so.
Okay.
I think seven weeks from today.
Yeah, it's going to be out on Amazon.
Yes, it'll be Amazon digital paperback, and then at some point we'll do a hardcover. And then somewhere down the road, I'd like to do an audiobook, but that's a whole other hurdle.
Okay. Are you doing any pre-orders for it? Or?
It's available right now on my website, www.symposiumoftereaper.com. That's the only place I have paperbacks available till July 9th. And then the Kindle is up for pre-order right now on Amazon.
All right, you heard him, people. Hop on Amazon, go to his website, and pre-order his book.
One other quick question, if we were going to be segueing, because you did mention that your books can get psychological as well as gory.
Yeah.
Well, when you hand it off to the editor, do they usually let you keep most of what you want in there when it comes to that kind of stuff?
Well, I'm fortunate that I've done most of my own editing, so.
Oh, okay. Do you let yourself just go all out?
Yeah.
I don't put any holds on anything. I do have another book that is currently signed with Mad Axe Media. I believe you've talked to Joey before.
Oh, I've seen, I've seen him on Insta. Yeah.
He has my next book with him from his company. So he's the editor on that one. So he's very free about like, okay, content is fine. Let's make it as good as possible. Nothing like, hey, we shouldn't say this, or I don't want to be represented by that. And that book gets pretty gory as well. So
maybe that's the reason why you're able to pump out so many, is because you're not being restrained of what you can put out.
That's another big thing is, you know, when you're editing your own stuff, you don't have to you don't have to have that months long back and forth. You just go through and clean it all up and make sure there's no typos. But I should also point out, though, that I have put out so much stuff because I was writing for several years before I ever published at all. So I kind of ended up with a huge backlog, too.
Just as a, just as a hobby?
Yeah, well, I didn't realize you could self-publish a book quite so easily as you can, which nowadays is easy as, you know, a couple buttons. I thought you had to pay and, you know.
I would just think of the money situation would probably be the biggest hurdle.
That was what I thought, was like, okay, I'm probably going to be in thousands of dollars, and that's not how it goes. You could self-publish without really paying a cent if you wanted to.
That's actually pretty cool to hear for any aspiring writers.
Yeah, I never realized. Nobody told me. So I ended up taking about 2 years before the time I wrote Symposium to the time I actually published it myself. It was about 2 years.
You might have just given some potential authors some hope out there who might be be sitting there worried like, well, I can't afford to self-publish myself.
Now I feel a lot better about my short stories. They might see the light of day.
Now you just need to kick Chris's ass off the podcast.
I mean, there's a lot to learn about it still, and formatting and things like that, but it's doable. Yeah, the reason I chose Evil Dead 2 was just because it was such a major influence to me. I saw it as a, I don't know, I was probably in junior high or so, and just as far as my writing and sense of humor and everything, that's kind of it right there.
I'm surprised that it took me this long to watch Evil Dead 2, because I know the reputation that it has. I know that 2 and 3, you know, are kind of the turn, you know, a big turn from the first one.
And it seems to be in your wheelhouse with the effects and the stop motion.
Yeah, and Avin talked a little bit about your books. I can definitely see what would be a draw for, you know, Evil Dead 2. Just more over-the-top gore, more over-the-top action and mugging for the camera. I love it.
Yeah, and the funny thing, you know, it's a very gory movie. But at its heart, it's pretty psychological as well. And he's trapped in a cabin by himself and he's fighting off these objects that are mocking him, coming back to life. So it's kind of a mixture of a lot of different types of horror, which I like.
It's like, it's one thing to just be getting beaten up and sliced up, but another where they're just basically calling you a pussy to your face as they're doing it.
And this all happens the day after all his friends are possessed and he had to kill them. So.
When I saw it, and I was like, wait a second, why is he coming back to the cabin again after everything that happened? And then I was like, oh, this is pretty much a reimagining, not a direct kind of sequel.
Yeah, because it was a rights issue. Yeah, there's a lot of rights issues going on. So they're like, we can't use the first Evil Dead, so we'll just do a 10 minute
recap.
Yeah.
Which is what I texted Dave. I said, hey, 10 minutes in, I'm already really loving this. He said, well, it is, the first 10 minutes is just a recap of the first one. I was like, oh, that's probably why I like it.
Yeah, but there are people out there who think it's just Ash coming back to the cabin a little while after the first one. I'm like, no, I don't think Ash as a character would be that dumb to escape and then come back with another girlfriend.
I don't know, man. He's
also named Linda.
He's goofy. I love going and seeing the stuff that Bruce Campbell is doing for, because my first introduction to him was Burn Notice. So I only knew Bruce Campbell as Sam Axe, the mojito drinking former special ops.
Such a great show.
Yes, and yes, it is a great show. I just didn't know he had this whole legacy behind him until years later.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one movie he made where it's like, it's called My Name is Bruce.
Yeah, that was it was a fun one too. It was pretty campy, but you know, for Bruce Campbell fans, it was great.
Yeah.
You had mentioned one other movie besides Evil Dead 2. I forget what it's called, but I'm interested to hear if David's seen it. What was the other one you had mentioned?
That was Cemetery Man. Or the Italian title was Della Morte, Della More, I believe.
Not familiar with that one, Dave?
No.
All
right. It was, it's hard to find. It's especially nowadays. I was actually a film student when I was right out of high school. And, you know, I wanted to follow in the footsteps of all these people. And so I was just trying to eat up as much film as I could, particularly horror. And that one is something that very few people that I've come across have ever actually watched it.
Is it like an Italian horror movie, or?
It's in English. It's very similar to Evil Dead. It's about a man who, he's a caretaker of a cemetery, and after 7 days, the corpses come back to life, and he has to kill them again.
Oh my God.
Sounds very Evil Dead. Yeah.
I had reviewed a movie like last summer. It was basically considered the Japanese Evil Dead.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
You being an Evil Dead fan, you might know which one I'm talking about. I was going to ask if you had seen it.
It slips my mind right now, but I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it.
It's like Muscle Man versus something or something like that. Muscle Shotgun
Man. Yeah, that's
Man.
A hobo with a shotgun.
Hobo with a shotgun man.
Yeah.
Versus Evil Dead.
If you ever get a chance and you find Cemetery Man available, it's a really good watch. It's pretty campy, but it's not like slapstick. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of goofy in its own way, but it's really dark and kind of weird. It's just a really good movie.
Hey, dark, weird, we love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, but that's what I like about Evil Dead too. Is like it's dark and gory, but it balances well with the slapstick and the zaniness of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, it's the perfect mixture. The first one's really good too. The first Evil Dead, but it's Ash is not Ash at that point. So
no, Ash is still becoming the Ash that everyone knows in the first one.
The Ash from the TV series.
Because the first Evil Dead, Ash is kind of like a. It's kind of a little bit like a wimp. Doesn't want to do much.
Which it looked like they were
Ashley
playing
as well. I wanted to change that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had to drop that Ashley if we got to be if you're going to be taken seriously.
Yeah, he's that reluctant hero. He's not a hero because he wants to be. It's just he kind of fumbles his way into a situation.
Did you ever see the Dead Snow movies?
A while ago, I saw the first one.
No.
They did something really similar. I think they were Norwegian.
That's not the one with the Nazi zombies, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
They did something similar versus Evil Dead 1. You feel like Scotty's going to be the guy, and here's the final girl boy, Ash.
Yeah.
Kind of comes out of nowhere. They did the exact same thing with Dead Snow, but it was zombies instead.
That movie looked just ridiculous enough to be one of my Friday night movie watches.
The second one was a lot more over the top, kind of similar to Evil Dead.
Now, do you like the direction that the Evil Dead franchise is going now with Evil Dead Rise?
I do, although I'll be the first to admit that Evil Dead's one of those few things that I just find kind of above criticism for me.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of them, but Evil Dead's one of them. I had my complaints with the new one, but overall, I thought it was just a really good, just a good way to keep it going.
Yeah,
yeah. I was
a little disappointed they didn't keep up with Mia from the 2013 one.
Yeah, that was another small
complaint. Yeah,
I liked the 2013 one. I think a lot of people don't consider
That's my favorite one on the franchise, is the 2013 one.
A lot of people consider it a weak entry. I liked it. I went and saw it in the theaters. I enjoyed it.
I thought, Fede Alvarez did a great job with that one. Especially with a scene where it was raining blood. It was insane.
So, seeing as how you had chosen Evil Dead 2 as the movie to talk about, were there any scenes specifically that may have inspired certain scenes in your writing?
Thematically, I think the first like 30 minutes or whatever it is where he's in the house by himself, he's having to work through all of those psychological issues. I think that's a big one, especially the short stories. Mm. Just a theme wise. I don't think I use that exact topic, but that's my favorite part of the movie, first like 30 minutes or, whatever it is.
You don't got anybody cutting off their own hand and replacing it with a chainsaw?
Not quite. I'm sure I've got something similar if I sat down and went through it. We do have spider eating girls though, so that's probably just as absurd.
You ever thought of go the graphic novel route for any of your stories?
I would love to at some point. I used to draw quite a bit when I was a child, and I used to make comic books, but I haven't done that in, you know, 15 years. I couldn't tell you what my skill level's at anymore. So, I guess the main thing is I wouldn't put anything out that was not good. If my writing's not cutting it, or I'm sorry, not writing, but the drawing is not cutting,
then you'll just scrap it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you read any of those Freddy versus Jason versus Ash graphic novels that are out there?
Yeah, actually, I have the first. I think there were two of them. I have all of them.
Yeah.
I always loved Ash because he's kind of the unique character in most horror movies that you're rooting for the good guy as opposed to Jason or Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found out those were the things like a couple months ago. I was like, that's insane.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, maybe 2008 or 9 those came out.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
Sorry, there's that is what I was looking for. Okay. There was a show that was very, very similar to like Ash versus Evil Dead. It certainly felt like it was trying to copy it. It was called Stand Against Evil.
Yeah.
Did you ever get into that? Because it certainly felt like it was like Ash versus Evil Dead-ish.
I watched a couple of episodes at one point in time, and it was close enough.
Yeah. It
was close enough. I think that was before the show came out, though, if I'm not mistaken.
It says it came out 2016 was when it first came out.
Yeah, because I think Ash versus Evil Dead was 2017 or 2018.
Oh, so. Ash, never mind. They copied Stand versus Evil, or Stand versus Against Evil.
I'm still mad. I only got like 4 episodes in of Ash versus Evil Dead before Netflix took it off their system.
Did you ever finish it?
No, I just watched like the first 4 episodes. Pretty good for a TV show.
Yeah, it got better as they went, for sure.
Yeah, I think that might have been Bruce Campbell's best portrayal of Ash so far.
Well, let me ask you two. We've Evil Dead. I'm glad this has kind of just turned into just Evil Dead in general talk.
Yeah.
We've gone out to the cabin in the woods and Evil Dead Rise. We went out to the cabin in the woods, but now we went to an apartment complex. If you were to set a location for the next one, where would you want to see Evil Dead take place next? But it can't be cabin in the woods. It can't be an apartment complex. If you wanted to see it branch out to another different location.
My first thought was a hospital.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
All the scalpels and things like that.
I don't care what my answer would have been. That wins. I didn't even think hospital.
See, I think you got to shop smart. You got to shop S-Mart.
Yeah, that would be a great turn, too.
Have the whole movie take place in S-Mart.
You said Asmart?
That's like the convenience store that Ash works in. Yeah.
Oh.
And that was a line from Army of Darkness. He was like, you gotta shut smart. You gotta shut up Asmart.
Oh, he hasn't seen Army of Darkness, has he?
No.
That's why I'm sitting here like, what is that supposed to be? What is that, like Walmart or something?
It's basically a Walmart, yeah.
Yeah, well, as soon as we're done and this renders, I'll put on Army of Darkness and then I'll be up to speed.
It's definitely more of a kid's version of a horror movie. It's not really a horror movie.
It's more of a dark comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I'm going to have my answer. What was that movie that I had you? It was a Sam Raimi movie, and you said you really, really didn't like it. It was my first slasher that I recommend. Intruders. Yeah. It'll take place in that grocery store.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't like that movie. I thought you would have enjoyed how goofy it was.
I think it was just the dialogue in that movie just didn't click with me.
Is Evil Dead 2 your favorite of the franchise?
Yeah. 1 and 2 kind of back to back, I think. I know that's kind of cheating, but if you watch both of them back to back, it's a really good, you know, it plays well together. There's people online that have edited them together seamlessly, and it's really good to watch.
Yeah, because you gotta skip the first 10 minutes of Evil Dead 2.
Otherwise, the 2013, I really enjoy that one as well, but I like all of them, so
yeah,
I'll have to be that guy.
I mean, it's one of the few horror franchises where it, I don't want to say it hasn't had a misstep, but it doesn't have a bad movie in its catalog.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I would like to just dip one quick toe before kind of moving towards wrapping up, because we had mentioned how, was it Infernal Moon, that not only did Evil Dead inspire you, but Tales from the Crypt.
Yes. As far as Infernal Moon?
Yeah, or just in general, like, is there a particular, I'll say, of the newer ones that came out, the revival, as well as the original movies, do you have a favorite story?
Favorite story? That's a tough one. I was really more drawn to the variety aspect and kind of the character of the Crypt Keeper, as the Reaper itself. But I think I was, my favorites of the, like, the whole franchise in general, Demon Knight and Creepshow.
Any anthology is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, Creepshow in particular, I think, the final one with, the guy in the apartment with the bugs, and he's just kind of obsessed over keeping the place clean, and the neurosis kind of takes over him. I think that was my favorite part of it.
I think mine's probably the getting buried to the head, Ted Danson getting left for dead. That's a rough way to go.
Yeah, I've yet to watch Creepshow, but I remember watching Tales from the Crypt, and I remember the Crypt Keeper, but I couldn't remember one story from it.
There's one, I believe that it is, Tales from the Crypt, about a guy who gets killed, but he's still conscious. He's like still conscious in his dead body, and he basically sees, he can't move, but he just sees, and he sees like the person who killed him like disposing of his body and then moving it around. I don't remember what it was called. I just remember that sticking with me and going, wow, that's a fucked up fate.
Right.
A lot of them were, and the comic books, they were from the 50s, and if you go back and read them now, they're kind of gruesome in comparison to what we think of the 50s.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I watch old Twilight Zone episodes, and when I see stuff from there, I'm like, damn, that's pretty advanced stuff for the 50s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the original Twilight Zones. I don't know why, but the episode with the people with like the pig faces still sticks out to me.
Eye of the Beholder.
That episode that threw me off.
Not that I've memorized the titles or anything.
Yeah.
But I know we're kind of straying away from Evil Dead, and we're kind of all over the place. But to give it some kind of order back to, I guess, I think we pretty much talked all we can, really. I think we've filleted Evil Dead enough.
If you ever need somebody to do that, that's what I do.
My worry is always that, like, all right, we've talked about it for 25 minutes. Surely we're boring this person.
Wait, have any of you guys ever seen the Evil Dead musical?
I've listened to it. I've never seen it.
I was unaware there was such a thing.
I like the CD.
Yeah. I think it's on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it was actually pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that one out there, see if you guys saw it.
Nah, you're good, dude. That's okay, though. I think we can slowly start wrapping this up. I think we talked a good amount of book talk and a good amount of, a little bit of Evil Dead, both
Evil Dead,
old and new. I do have a question, though, because we are trying to do this upcoming giveaway. Would you be opposed if I get with you afterwards, and maybe could I buy a signed copy off of Infernal Moon?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, everything on my website signed as is.
Oh, excellent.
Like, that's how I sign everything.
Oh, excellent. We love it. So then everybody get ready to get an eye out for, we'll have a couple of your projects in the upcoming giveaways.
Yeah, and then, like I said, that one's 7 weeks out from a wide release, so that would be a very big pre-release window.
And if you're not doing anything in the future, we'll come back on, we'll talk Cemetery Man.
Yeah, I would love to. I haven't seen it in a couple of years myself, but that was one of the ones, when I was in high school or whatever age, I was just like, almost like Dead Alive by Peter Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a similar type of vibe in some ways, so, which was another huge favorite of mine.
Andrew, I want to thank you again for taking some time, and we worked through the technical difficulties. Sorry if the issue was coming on my end, because I know we were dealing with a storm, so...
Yeah, we were having issues before you got on, It's been one of those nights.
Part two, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll edit it all out, and it'll sound like nothing. There was not a problem at all.
So, there you go.
All right. Well, you have a good rest of the day.
And thank you. You too.
And thank you all for listening.
Everyone, have a good week.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.